Dear friends, today here at Bethlehem, we observe All Saints' Day. When we think about All Saints' Day, let's understand that it is a feast that is created by the church, unlike, for example, Passover, Pentecost, etc., which are commanded by God. When we think about our church body, the LCMS, and when we think about the Roman Catholic Church, both of our church bodies, on this weekend, we are celebrating All Saints' Day. But there are some key differences. So let me try to share them with you. But as I share them, though, keep this in mind. I believe that we're in alignment with the Bible, and I believe that they are not in a number of ways. But I'm not talking here anything, though, about people, individual people who are Lutherans or who are Roman Catholic. In other words, there are so many Lutherans who are mixed up about the truth. And there are, I would think, there are probably a number of Roman Catholics who actually get it. So we want to keep that in mind, that it's not saying, oh, the Lutherans have it all and they don't. But what I'm talking now, though, is about some official teachings. So we should understand that there are some differences with these official teachings. Let's get into a little bit of church history here for a moment. So during the lifetime of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther, the Roman Catholic Church, we should understand, it was the only official Christian church body in the entire Holy Roman Empire. That's what he grew up with, and many other people did during that time in history in that part of the world, which was a major significant part of the world. It was actually during the time when Martin Luther was living that they were building St. Peter's Basilica there in Rome. And let's understand that that is just so huge and so ornate and so amazing. If you have ever been there, it's overwhelming. And yet, what did they find? They found that they were running out of money. So what did they decide to do? They decided, we will sell indulgences in order to pay for the building of St. Peter's Basilica. What does that mean? Well, let's tie this in with All Saints' Day. So in 1517, Dr. Luther, I mean, he was Roman Catholic through and through. Dr. Luther, he began to point out some of the inconsistencies with the Roman Catholic Church when he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg. Why did he do that? Why did he do that on the eve of All Saints' Day? He did it in order to challenge the selling of indulgences and a number of other teachings that are contradicting the Bible. How does that contradict the Bible? If we go to 1 John chapter 1, it says the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And what is an indulgence? An indulgence is something that you buy in order to remove the punishment for your own sins, or you can buy one for somebody who has already died and is in purgatory. You can buy an indulgence for them, and when you buy it, then they are immediately released from purgatory and they go to heaven. Imagine how much that would weigh on people's hearts, thinking about parents or grandparents, and here they are suffering in purgatory, and now we're going to sell them this indulgence, and that's going to release them, and now we're going to get money, and we can buy what we need to build St. Peter's Basilica. That's what was going on back then, and Luther was not happy about that at all. He wanted the people to know the truth and be set free. He didn't want them thinking that somehow they could purchase the forgiveness of their sins. I'm not going to talk any more about indulgences today, but I do have a few copies of a paper. It's right out of the Roman Catholic Catechism. I want to try to address some questions here today. So, first of all, what is a saint? I want to take a brief look at what the Bible says, what our church body says, and what the Roman Catholic Church says. Going to the Bible, first of all, the Greek word hagios in the Greek Bible, that can be translated either saint or holy. So we can rightly say that saints are holy ones. Well, let's learn a little bit more about this topic, and I want to try to address four questions here real quick. So are some saints physically alive and living on earth? Now, the reason why I'm asking that is the Roman Catholic Church would say there are no saints living on earth. you have to die and go to heaven to be a saint. But it's important, though, that we understand they are living on earth. Think about how the Bible reads. The Bible says, for example, here in Acts 9, it says, Peter came down to the saints who lived at Lydda. Or think about Paul's letters. He addresses his letters to the saints living in Rome, to the saints living in Corinth, to the saints living in Ephesus, to the saints living in Philippi, to the saints living in Colossae. So the Bible uses that term a lot, and it's talking very clearly about there being saints on earth. That's going to come up a little bit later here. It's important that we understand that. Are other saints alive in heaven? They are. The Bible says that those saints have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are before the throne of God. So we have saints on earth. We have saints in heaven. A key question here, how do people become saints? How does that happen? Well, the Bible tells us that they were sanctified. What does that mean? That means they were made holy. They were set apart in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us what the order of salvation is in Romans chapter 8, and it tells us that each part of it, the Almighty God had to do. So before time, God predestined. In time, God called. In time, God justified, so that in eternity, God would glorify. So God. He's doing all of it. And then last week we touched on this passage in Romans chapter 3, where it says that God is both just and the justifier. Why am I bringing that up? You'll find out here in a few minutes that the Roman Catholic Church is saying that by what people do, they are justifying themselves. It is such a serious matter, and yet it seems like the world is blind to this. They have something that's kind of close to the Bible, but it's not close enough for salvation. Because it's so close, people are deceived, but they're off enough, though, that if they buy into what's being taught, they will not go to heaven. Is that a serious matter? That bothers me. That should bother all of us. I have plenty of Roman Catholic relatives. I imagine that you probably do too, because it's so common out there. But it just isn't true. If you believe what they're teaching, it is not unto salvation. Now again, like I said, there are many Lutherans that are believing the wrong thing, and they're not on their way to heaven either. But unfortunately, when it's being taught wrong, there's a greater opportunity for people to believe wrong. That's what we have going on. What about saints on earth? Are they sinless? They're not. The Bible is so clear that Jesus is the only one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he did not sin. Think about this. Do you realize that because God has gifted you with faith alone in Jesus, that you are a saint? So many people who claim to be Christians are living no different than the rest of the world that is on their way to eternal punishment. What did I read earlier there in 1 John chapter 3? We could apply this to saints. People who are saints through Jesus, they purify themselves just as Jesus is pure. So we're not satisfied to live like the rest of the world. We're like, wait a minute. Yes, I know I'm a sinner, but I also know that Jesus is my Savior. I know I have God's forgiveness. I know I'm heaven bound, and therefore I want to live to show who God has made me to be. I'm not going to be like the rest of the world. I'm not going to talk like the rest of the world. I'm not going to live like them. I'm going to be different as a way to honor my great God who made me and did everything to save me, and even this moment is keeping me in the one true faith. And yet, how many are, again, claiming to be Christian, and yet they're living no different than the rest of the world that is hell-bound. Oh, I have so many things on my mind I'd like to share, but I really should get back to the sermon. Okay, so what about our church body? What about the LCMS? We're agreeing with the Bible. So we say that saints include all who died in Christ and are now in heaven, and all on earth who, by God's grace, are continuing in Christ. So I want to emphasize that the Bible is clear that God is at work through baptism and through the Bible in order to save. What did Jesus say here in Luke chapter 8? He said, they believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. That can happen to someone who has been clothed in Christ. That person can take off the clothing of Christ. What about in 1 Timothy chapter 6? This is a common thing in the world today. Some, by longing for money, have wandered away from the faith. And the great deception is, when people are no longer in Christ, if only they knew it, that would be good. But when they're no longer in Christ, what's going on? The forces of evil convince them that they're okay. What about with the Roman Catholic Church? Well, they say a saint, now this comes right out of their catechism, right in the glossary. This is their definition of saint. A saint is the holy one who leads a life in union with God through the grace of Christ and receives the reward of eternal life. Now, it kind of sounds good on the surface, but that word reward should concern us. What is a reward? A reward is something that is earned. Okay? Let's go a little bit further with what it says in the Roman Catholic Catechism. It says that the joy of heaven is God's eternal reward for the good works accomplished with the grace of Christ. So it's saying God gives grace to a person. By that grace, that person then is able to do good, and by that good, that person is earning a place in heaven. Is that what the Bible is teaching? We know it's not. The Bible teaches there in Romans 6 that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I think that I'm going to earn the reward of heaven, what am I trusting in? I'm trusting in the things I'm doing, hoping to get that reward. God says, don't trust in yourself at all. You can't do it. God is saying, trust in Jesus. He has done it all for everyone. But as long as I think that somehow I need to do something in order to get there, my trust is here. That's the great danger of that. God wants us to know we are fallen, we are helpless, we can't fix it, and only in Christ is the way open. What about physically alive saints? Well, they would say there are no physically alive saints. They're all in heaven. So that brings us into the topic of praying to saints. So can saints in heaven be mediators between us and God? Well, when it comes to the Bible and the LCMS, we believe there's only one mediator because that's what the Bible teaches. There in 1 Timothy 2, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we are here, God is up here, there's only Jesus Christ in the middle. He is the only mediator. So what is the problem if we say that we can pray to saints? If we say we can pray to saints, then we are contradicting the Bible, which says that Jesus is the only mediator. If we can pray to them, that means that we believe they have the ability to hear us. The Bible never tells us that they have such an ability. When it comes to the Roman Catholic Church, regarding saints in heaven, they say we can and should ask them to intercede for us and for the whole world. Again, out of their catechism. They do use this passage as one of their proof texts from the Bible to try to say this is true. So in Revelation chapter 8, it refers to the prayers of all the saints. So because they believe saints are only in heaven and not on earth, when they read that verse, they're like, oh, well, we know the saints are only in heaven, so if it talks about the prayers of the saints, now we know that those saints in heaven are praying. But what have they forgotten? They have forgotten that many people on earth are saints. It identifies the saints in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. It says the saints are the faithful in Christ Jesus. So I believe this is a reference to the prayers of people like you and me. Let me conclude real quick like this. So living as saints, God wants us to know we are saints. Then he wants us to live as saints. These are a few of the statements here in Ephesians 4. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor. In other words, God is saying to us, don't tell any lies, be truthful. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Are you like open and paying attention and listening to the Spirit of God? When the Spirit of God is communicating with us, God wants us to pay attention. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit is saying, go that way, and we're going to be like, oh no, I'm going to go that way. Also, too, it says, be kind, tender-hearted. This is so hard, but so important. Forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Don't we pray that in the Lord's Prayer every time? We're like, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me in exactly the same way that I am forgiving others. So important. And then finally, benefiting from All Saints Day. Well, all saints were saved like us. They were all saved through Jesus, but don't we recognize some people in particular? Like we think about, oh, St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, St. Peter, St. Paul. You know, we identify different people like that. Could we all call each other saint like that? I suppose we could, but please don't call me that. I'm not planning to call you that either. But anyway, though, when we think about people like that, we're not saying that somehow their lives were so extraordinary that now they've reached this level of being called saints. We're not saying that, but what we're saying is that they did live extraordinary Christian lives, and maybe we could look at their lives and be inspired by them, set them up as a good example for us to follow. That's the idea there. Amazingly, God sees us as saints through Jesus, not because of what we do, but because of our relationship with him. Think about our loved ones who died in Christ. Let's understand that they are with Jesus. Did they deserve it? No, but by the grace of God, they are with Jesus. That should bring us great comfort. And then finally, the last one here, amazing things are coming for saints. Jesus said in Matthew 8, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Boy, that's going to be an awesome meal, won't it? We have so much to look forward to, not because of us, but all because of Jesus. I've been here a long time at Bethlehem, and I've seen a lot of people come and go, and I've seen some people of great faithfulness, and that makes me rejoice. I've seen so much unfaithfulness, and it makes me struggle. I feel bad for people because I don't want them to be lost forever. I don't want them to live in deception. I don't want them to be apart from God forever. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us know that we are all undeserving. Maybe I'm the most undeserving. But amazingly, you have made many people saints in your sight through Jesus. We pray that you would comfort those who are mourning the death of their loved ones. We think about that today. And we also pray for each of us that you would keep us in the one true faith to the end. And for anyone who has slipped away or is on the path toward slipping away, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would grab their attention and lead them to repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.